Francis Collins was always curious. He wanted to know the who, the what, the why, the how of everything. And Francis believed that science held all the answers he was searching for. So Francis became a doctor, a very well-respected doctor. Then he went on to earn his PhD in chemistry, and that led him into researching the most fundamental questions about who we are. He spent decades studying DNA, mapping the very blueprint of human life. He kept digging and digging, trying to better understand life and science and creation. What makes one person different from another? What genetic factors cause some people to get cancer while others don't? Why are some of us good at singing and others are not? In all of his research and wondering, God never factored into the equation. And yet, time after time, his scientific pursuits brought him up against questions that science alone couldn't answer. Francis, when he served as a doctor, found patients who were facing suffering that should have broken them. But instead, with their faith, they faced challenges with peace and joy. One of his patients, a woman who was suffering from a debilitating sickness, began to speak to Francis about her faith with a peace, with a serenity that really baffled him. Over time, they started to talk about where they found value and hope and purpose in life. And then one day, as Francis was standing next to this woman's bed, she looked up at him and she asked him, "Doctor, what do you believe? What do you believe?" In that moment, Francis thought about his years and years of research, and he began to see everything anew. Francis realized that he'd spent years looking for answers about the world, but he'd never stopped to think about what he believed about life, about death, about the existence of God. "Doctor, what do you believe? What do you believe?" That question changed everything for Francis. Today we're celebrating Christ the King Sunday. In 1925, just a few years after the end of World War I, a conflict so catastrophic that it left the world reeling, Pope Pius XI concluded that humanity was desperately searching for something greater. And so Christ the King Sunday was born as a bold declaration that in a world obsessed with power and sovereignty, Christ was king above all, not just king in one individual life, but king of all creation. And today in our world, as we face our own divisions and uncertainty and anxieties, Christ the King Sunday reminds us of this same hope, that we are called to be citizens of a higher kingdom, a kingdom without end, a kingdom shaped by the radical, life-giving love of our God. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of the church year. And that means that this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, is the last Sunday of the church year. That's how calendars work. So as this year comes to an end, it's worth considering this question that changes everything. What do we believe? What do I believe? What do you believe? If you aren't sure what you believe, you can begin by thinking about the Nicene Creed, this creed that we recite every Sunday and we'll say together in a few minutes. Together we will say, "We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit." As a side note, when I was in seminary, one of my professors told me that we say the creed immediately after the sermon to correct any of the heresies of the preacher. But what do we believe? In the gospel reading we heard just a few minutes ago, Pontius Pilate asks Jesus this piercing question: "Are you King of the Jews?" It's a loaded question, fraught with political and also spiritual uncertainty. Was Jesus simply a man that the Jewish religious establishment was trying to get rid of? Was he really a king? Who was this guy? And Pilate isn't the only one who struggled to understand who Jesus was. Throughout the Gospels, person after person struggled with the identity of Jesus. John the Baptist, Jesus' own cousin, when he found himself locked in Herod's prison, sent messengers to Jesus asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else?" The Pharisees constantly questioned Jesus' identity, asking, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Even the disciples, after they'd witnessed Jesus miraculously calm a storm, found themselves asking, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" The question of who Jesus is reverberates through Scripture, and it doesn't stop there. For 2,000 years, people from all walks of life have asked, "Who is Jesus?" Thomas Jefferson saw Jesus as a great moral teacher, but rejected the supernatural claims of the Bible, making his own Bible by cutting out all references to the miracles or the resurrection or the divinity of Jesus. Karl Marx, though famously critical of religion, praised Jesus as an economic revolutionary. He believed Jesus was fighting to overthrow an oppressive capitalist system. Or more recently, Reza Aslan, in his book Zealot, says that Jesus was an instigator of political insurrection, challenging both the Roman Empire and the religious elite. He believed that Jesus was a radical activist. For 2,000 years, in other words, people have struggled with the question, who is Jesus? So what do you believe? Was Jesus a moral exemplar? Was he a political philosopher? Was he a revolutionary, a healer, a prophet? Or was he simply a relic of an ancient time that has little meaning to our lives today? What do you believe? You see, this is not just a theological inquiry. It's deeply personal, because the way we answer this question can change and direct the rest of our lives. Doctor, what do you believe? Francis Collins was stunned when he heard these words that his patient had asked him. In all his years of study, he'd never stopped to think about what he believed. But after hearing this question, his unquenchable curiosity set him off on a journey. He began to read books and articles about faith, but he eventually stopped in his tracks when he read a particular book, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. In this book, Lewis laid out a compelling rational reasoning for faith. Lewis argued that the existence of a universal moral law, a moral law that held true around the world and through the centuries, points to a moral lawgiver. Lewis argued that the existence of a moral law points to the existence of God. And this reasoning resonated deeply with Francis. Just as physical laws govern the universe, perhaps moral laws point to some deeper truth. Even in Francis's work, he began to see the fingerprints of God. As he worked to unravel the secrets of DNA, he saw its awe and its beauty and its complexity. There was order and purpose that he saw. Science wasn't in conflict with faith, but science may have pointed to faith. If science reveals the how of creation, faith, he thought, might reveal the why. This weekend, the movie Wicked opened to great fanfare in theaters here in Jacksonville and across the country. Has anyone seen the movie or seen the play? This movie is an adaptation of a play that's sort of a reimagining of The Wizard of Oz. And in the play, there's one character who has a very shallow and simplistic philosophy of life, which he sings about. I won't sing it to you. I don't dislike you that much, but I'll tell you what he sings. This character sings, "Dancing through life, skimming the surface, gliding where the turf is smooth, life's more painless for the brainless. Why think too hard when it's so soothing? Dancing through life." It's an appealing way of thinking, isn't it? Just coast along, avoid the hard questions, enjoy whatever comes your way. No stress, no introspection, just gliding where the turf is smooth. But in reality, most of us know that life demands more of us. Eventually, we're all forced to confront questions that will force us to go deeper. And that brings us back to the moment in today's gospel reading when Pilate stands before Jesus and asks him, "Are you king?" It's a pivotal question. So who do we believe Jesus is? And equally important, what does his kingship mean in our lives? We're being asked if we will simply dance through life, skimming the surface, or if we will dig deeper, examining our lives in light of this question that can change everything. So I invite you to think about the question, what do you believe? Because the answer to that question can change your life. For months and months, Francis Collins thought about this question. It gnawed at him. It wouldn't let go of him. And then one day, while hiking in the Cascade Mountains, he came across a waterfall that had been frozen into three separate streams. And in that moment, he felt the presence of God. In that moment, he was certain that Christ was king, and that could change his life. And Francis's life thereafter became a testimony to the harmony between science and faith. Francis went on to lead the Human Genome Project and then to be the director of the National Institutes of Health. But just as important, he committed himself to proclaiming the truth of Christianity, that Christ is king over all. So what do you believe? That's the question that won't let any of us off the hook. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that God came into time and space in the person of Jesus. I believe that God loves each of you and loves me far more than our feeble minds can comprehend. I believe that our lives are meant to be changed, and we are meant to become more Christ-like and make the world increasingly look like the kingdom of God. And I'm convinced that if we really believe Christ is king, our whole lives will be different. If Christ is truly king, then that means we are commanded to love our neighbors, even the ones we don't like very much. It means forgiving those who have wronged us, not because it's easy, but because it is the right thing to do. It means caring for the weak and seeing the face of Christ in the hungry and the homeless and the hurting. If Christ is king, then our decisions about money and time and resources take on new meaning. We're called to seek first the kingdom of God, investing in what lasts, justice and mercy and love. If Christ is king, we can't be passive in the face of injustice. His kingdom is one of peace and righteousness, and we are called to be ambassadors for that kingdom. This means standing up for the oppressed and working to ensure that we overcome violence through peace and tirelessly striving to build up God's kingdom. And if Christ is king, this means that God also reigns over our fears and our ambitions and our anxieties. This means we must learn to trust him, finding peace because of his strength and finding hope because of God's promises. So if we believe that God is king, that Christ is king, then let it show. Let it change how we speak and how we serve and how we love. Because Christ's kingdom isn't just about expecting that we will someday arrive at heaven. It's about living with the confidence that here and now we can begin to build up this kingdom. It means forgiving when it's hard, giving when it costs, and loving even when it hurts. So, how do you answer the question that changes everything? What do you believe? Amen.